Hello and welcome to this EG Property Podcast. I'm your host, EG Deputy Editor Samantha McClary, and in this episode we will be discussing the future of valuations. Joining me in the studio today is Anthony Schober, Managing Director of Kell Computing, John Hadcroft, Senior Portfolio Surveyor at Aviva Investors, and Simon Jones, who's National Head of Valuation at Lambert Smith Hampton. How is everyone?
Excellent. Thank you.
Excited to be in the EG podcast studio, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
We finally see what it looks like. It actually does exist.
It does. It's not a myth. So we're going to be gathered in this room, which sometimes gets warm. So apologies for that in advance. For the next 30 minutes or so, we're going to be looking at the commercial valuations landscape, whether and how that needs to change, and how we can use technology to deliver more. So let's get started with that first point. What does the current valuations landscape look like? What are the challenges? What are the inefficiencies? And how can we make it better?
From the client's perspective, obviously at Aviva Investors, we lend money on commercial properties as part of the real estate finance. So where we come from a client's perspective is obviously we're looking for accuracy of valuations, transparency of the logic that the value has applied, and essentially speed of getting the valuation reports in, but obviously not at the expense of accuracy and transparency. So I think the challenges that we see are overhauling the whole process for the benefit of all, being not just ourselves, but for the benefit of the valuer and all end users. And we hope that valuers will work with us to do that.
And thanks, John. So, Simon, what does it look like at the moment then if we're delivering those valuations and clients such as Aviva Investors want that speed and that accuracy? Is the old way too analog? Is it taking too much time?
Yeah, the old way is analog. In fact, in a way, it's weakening it to beta. We've been working on a number of different products to try and resolve those issues and take ourselves forward. And we found huge challenges across the industry in terms of collating data. We've got to research numerous different areas to try and draw that information together, whether it's comparable data, planning data, statutory information. That's a huge challenge for us and takes a lot of time. In addition to that, we've got the whole piece regarding the inspection process, the instruction process where people are coming to us and trying to get us to do different styles of reports for different clients, and that causes issues for valuers because one minute they're looking at a product for one particular bank and then they're switching across to another lender, and that causes them issues in terms of making sure that they're providing the full service and a satisfactory service and answering all the questions that are required. And I think that going forward, we need to be looking at those issues and those challenges to try and provide a more seamless and quicker process for our clients. And the point that John raises regarding quality assurance, I think this is another issue. If you're dealing in an analog world with paper and files, in terms of the QA process and the checking process that we have, it's far more challenging. If we're in a position where everything's held digitally, our internal auditors and external auditors can then verify the information, check the information that we've got on file and also on the reports in a far more efficient and streamlined way. And I think from all our perspectives, I think as valuers, there's a lot of drudgery in the work that we do. And I think the younger generation as well, they don't want to be sitting there looking at a pen and paper. They enjoy the...
They might not know what a pen and paper is.
Mm. Exactly. Exactly. And I think for them, that the future for valuation has to be down the route of almost roboticising, for want of a better word, the system, so we can make it more streamlined, more exciting, and perhaps focus our minds more on the valuation and the technique of doing the valuation rather than worrying about the location of the property or some items which perhaps are superfluous now in the reporting process?
Mm. Anthony, not that anyone could see it, but you were nodding along.
Yeah, I think it's all really being driven by, you know, the efficiency and the accuracy and the value add side of it. And it's the value add side that's the really interesting part that as surveyors you're trained to provide that. And I think over the last 20 odd years we've seen very limited changes to the whole processes, which is got everyone sort of stuck in the old mentality of doing the spending 60-70% of the time doing research, collation and preparing reports, when actually you as a trained surveyor should be enabled to really provide the interesting value add, helping the clients with what their insights that they're striving for, being that a lender or an institutional fund.
So there was a quote that I'm going to read to you from the, which you probably already all know, from the RICS Future Valuation Report. And so I'm going to read it out as best as I can. And then well, let's use an A-level question, just do the discuss. So valuers who can deliver at speed will improve the client experience and are likely to receive more business. That questions remain on how to continue to ensure quality, accuracy and meeting regulatory compliance with less time available. That is difficult to say. Digitization and other technological developments are likely to help speed up the valuations process. Do you think everyone is on board with that belief now? Who's going first? Simon.
I'll go first. I certainly think at LSH we're totally on board with that. And I think it's the way forward. I think it's the future. I think we have to digitalise, and I think that the reporting process generally does take far too long at the moment, and our clients need the speed. And I think with the ability now to use various products, provide automated documentation and helping with reporting, we can ensure that we've got the quality assurance in place and we can follow the regulatory processes and make sure that the product that we provide to our clients is first rate, if not better, than it is now. And I think that's key, is to provide, actually, this is an opportunity to improve our service, not just to make it quicker, but actually improve the product. And I think that's a really important piece for us. And I think if we can integrate all the data and valuation software into what we do and to make it a seamless service, it's going to help tremendously in terms of the quality assurance and making sure that we follow the Red Book and all the guidance that's provided within it. I don't know, what do you think, John?
I think, not speaking on behalf of the lending industry, but I think the lending industry can help itself and help that process tremendously as well. I was a valuer for the last 20, 25 years or so, and like you say, Anthony, the valuation report hasn't changed. And in the meantime, the internet has been invented, and actually the instructing party as the lender has access to a lot more information now than they did 20, 25 years ago. You know, the internet allows us to walk down the street. It allows us to understand planning issues, rating issues, you know, all that publicly available information. And yet lenders still on a number of occasions send out a 20-page instructing letter, which is exactly what it was 20, 25 years ago, asking the valuer to do a lot of due diligence and provide evidence of that due diligence in their valuation report. And at Aviva Investors, we're looking at that whole process and saying, actually, what value add, or you know, what value is that adding to the whole process? Do we really need it? The valuer may need it as part of their due diligence process, but the lending industry can do a lot to actually look at what it is instructing and, as Anthony says, get the real value from the valuer in terms of what are the risks around that asset. The value is obviously important, but digging the good quality advice within a long valuation report that covers a lot of factual data, which is superfluous often to the requirements. It's helpful, but it's superfluous in terms of helping the lender understand what the risks are. And I think that's what the industry can do in terms of making it a lot easier for the valuer to show the quality of their advice and their market experience and save time and energy, but also use the technology to show how they've arrived at the valuation and get the valuation done a lot quicker so that the valuer can then comment on, you know, the analysis of that data.
What are some of the technologies out there already, and how can we, I guess, improve on those so they continue to sort of take out the I was going to say time wasting, but I probably don't mean that, but the time intensive work and that enable the valuer, the surveyor, to do that, to do that value add?
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of different technologies. Whether they're being utilised to their full potential at the moment, that is something that we're starting to see within the industry. But a lot of document management controls and systems to enable that sort of document management process around sort of, I guess we'll see in future more blockchain coming into to sort of support the industry with how you're starting to share data between clients and valuation practices, and I guess report writing processes as well. It's one of the things that I've been a big advocate of since I started surveying sort of late 1990s back in Australia, where we were looking at back then already how we can make the report writing process more efficient through automation. And I think that's a big part of now where the industry is heading, how you can use that both on residential and on commercial valuation report writing processes, which will help the real estate company and also the bank receive information cleaner and also more transparently as well. So along the valuation process, everyone's aware where the stage is. So there's almost more of a partnership approach to the report than not just an instructing party and a client. And I guess there's a lot around the automated valuation model sides of things as well, and how that's also going to be integrated into the industry in years to come, and around sort of big data and analysis, which now I think it's becoming a lot more analytical around how we're looking at valuations and the associated risks in what we deliver on a day-to-day basis.
John?
I joined Aviva Investors about 4 years ago, and they have had an automated valuation model for about 10 years or so, within valuing the lending book portfolio on a monthly basis. So, and obviously that uses a lot of data, which is provided externally, and we then use that and index rents, ERVs, yields on a quarterly basis. I think when I joined, I was originally skeptical, having been a valuer in a previous life, about just how accurate this AVM could be. I can say I've been surprised, and it is almost frightening just how accurate it can be. So those valuers who will say it'll never happen, it already is. And as we've said to a number on our valuers on our panel, the future is already here and the train is already rolling. So you either get on the train and join in, or you will get left behind. Because, you know, to give you an example, we had a valuation portfolio valued end of last year at about $333 million by external valuers. When we plugged it into our model, it came out about $330 million.
Hmm.
Now, that's a model doing that, you know, without any, you know, obviously we were having that checked, but you know, when you see how accurate that can be, at least at portfolio level, individually it might be slightly more inaccurate, but you know, as a lender, when you're assessing risk against, well, what is the value of this asset and what might the future value be or what might the risk be, technology is already doing a lot of that work.
And how long did the AMV valuation take in comparison to the human valuation?
Well, at the moment, I mean, obviously data inputting is mainly the time, as it is with the due diligence for the valuers. So data inputting took, you know, a matter of 2 or 3 days, but obviously the outcome that you get is providing that reassurance around external valuations. Now, we're not using it as reliance to lend against the model value at the moment. You can obviously see at some point in the future that might happen. But at the moment, we're using it as a tool to assess values now, but obviously going forward around various assessing future risk around what might happen and the ifs and wherevers and why fors and what have you. So a matter of days compared to a matter of weeks, which is obviously where we need the external valuers to improve the various sections of the process to move us on and make the whole process a lot quicker.
Excellent. Simon, how, when you're talking to valuers within LSH, are they on board with AMVs, or are they of the thought, no, this is my knowledge and my knowledge is better than a machine, or is that changing?
I think they're on board with that process.
AVMs, I should say.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think I think they're a great. I think they're a great testing and a great testing tool. I think the issue, of course, I think John's just alluded to it, is on an individual basis. It's not necessarily going to pick up certain issues, whether it's development angles, whether it's got a large plot, or there's an issue over the adjoining building, or there's some development taking place. But I think as an overall portfolio analysis tool, it's absolutely fantastic, as is demonstrated by John's model. I think going forward, the valuers have got to think, be more fleet of foot, and realise that times are changing. And perhaps this is an exciting opportunity for us to be a bit more analytical and end up spending more time analysing the building and less time thinking about what's the location. And I think this is an interesting point that I was talking about, which John alluded to on the report process and the way the report looks at the moment. At the moment, the report is a typical valuation report. It's long-winded. There's a lot of talk about the location. And actually, in the days of where we are now with Google and internet access, does our client really need to know the thorough detail of the location? They perhaps want to know a bit more about what the location is like for the particular property rather than it's 5 miles from Holborn. I don't know. John, what do you think?
The answer is no, bluntly, because essentially, obviously, the role that I play within the lending organisation is to assess the creditworthiness of the asset, and that is the purpose of the external valuation report. If I need, you know, I think I know where Birmingham is and how far away it is from London.
Yep.
And am I really getting the best out of the valuer by getting them to tell me how far it is away from Birmingham, or actually, should I get them to get to the crux of the matter as far as this is the assets, this is the loan terms we're lending on, this is the amount of loan and this is the period of the loan. So you tell me what the risks are of lending against this asset for this period of time, this much money. And the whole, you know, so valuers are extremely skilled. I think I should say, I think the valuers will have a role. I'm not saying it for a minute that valuers will not exist in 5 years' time. We made it clear to our panel last year as well that the valuers will fundamentally have a role, but how exciting will that role be instead of having to do data collection and report building and all those mundane things, you know, which, you know, no valuer really enjoys. The bit that the valuer enjoys is to use their skill, their market knowledge, to give good quality advice to their client, which is ultimately what the client needs. And then, as you say, we get on to how does the valuer provide that advice to the client. And again, we've sort of spoken to our panel about, we're walking around with smartphones in our pocket every day, you're going doing site inspections, you have video capabilities, hell, you even have stop motion on your, you know, or time lapse on your, you know, you could walk down the street in a time lapse video. And as a user, and our credit team have also said this, you can explain to someone in 30 seconds where an asset is, the context of the asset, so much better than using video and commentary rather than showing them 6 photographs of the street and the interior of it.
Is there a future then when a valuation report might not be words at all, it might be visual?
Yeah, I definitely agree, and we're already seeing that now. We can see VR sort of being able to support that whole process of actually being able to walk a building and give a client a full understanding of how the building fabric is by using certain VR-related tools, virtual reality-related tools. And I think that's definitely the way of the future and how that gets communicated. And I doubt a client would read a full valuation report word for word and get the full intelligence out of that report and a snapshot and an executive summary of that through sort of certain technologies will enable that. And especially now we've got sort of building management systems that are in place as well that we can also start to hook into. So you can start to really get a better understanding of the asset from the way that the asset is structured and set up.
I think on this, we've been looking at video technology and doing video reports for our clients. And I think it's when you actually look at the executive, we did a typical executive summary on a report, and we did it, the video demonstrated the action within the building, the occupancy level, what was going on, how it looked. You could see the issues regarding the repair and the condition. You could see live how the street was interacting with the building, where it sat within the comparables. And within, we did a 3-minute video. Within that 3 minutes, you pretty much got what you'd get in a 40, 50, 60 page valuation report, which you'd have to read line by line and think about in great detail. And I think it's the way forward is perhaps not to have the traditional Word report. There might be something that's a little bit different, but maybe cloud-based, maybe part video. Maybe there'll be an integrated report on the building, which involves other disciplines and other professionals. So you don't just have the valuation report, the lender's report, and the report on title. Maybe it starts to get integrated and we work a bit more collaboratively across all the different parts of the deal.
And Simon, you talked earlier about the next generation, and you know, those that might not know what pen and paper is, but they will know what a smartphone is and what VR is and yep. what video is. Do you think that the future of valuations needs to move in this way to make sure that we keep attracting those people to the sector?
100%. I think if you look at the younger generation, they're in touch with their smartphones, they're in touch with social media, they understand what's going on, and they'd far rather go out and take a video of the building than spend the best part of half a day writing a description, writing a location report, location within the report. And I think there's just a mindset shift here for us as an industry to start thinking forward and thinking what do people really want and how do they interact now? They don't really interact by letters or emails. Everything's much more bite-sized with Facebook, Instagram. The world's changing, and I think the younger generation are changing, and their requirements are different, and the way they interact is different. And we have to go with that, and we have to look at that, and change the way we report to our clients. It's coming.
Mm. John, for you, would you watch a valuation report, or would you read? Have you ever read an entire valuations report, I suppose?
Of course I have, Sam.
First word to last word.
How dare you even suggest that I might not? And valuers who have received my feedback on some of their valuation reports will tell you they know I do read
them. They wish you hadn't read the whole thing.
But this is something, I mean, Aviva, obviously the insurance company, is a 320-year-old disruptor. It's a fintech company, so... although the Aviva Investors part has obviously traditionally been on the investment side, we on a daily basis are interacting with our Aviva Insurance group on a regular basis. And this is sort of where our thinking started to come from, in that they are providing video updates, 30-minute question and answer sessions on a live interactive basis. And we've been encouraging our panel to start looking at the future and how this will look. So actually, as Simon says, the 3-minute video to get across the key elements, the key aspects, the key risks of an asset is not only helpful for me, but is helpful when we're trying to explain the asset and its risk to our wider investment committee, who don't necessarily have a property background, but they want to know the key risks. If you gave them a 60-page document, their eyes would glaze over. Hmm. If you gave them a 3-minute video, perhaps, you know, and who knows, virtual reality, augmented reality in the future, all this sort of thing. But people are alive to this. They want it. They see it. Actually, when you experience it, it is mind-blowing. Compared to reading a 60-page valuation report. So it definitely is the future. We're aiming to drive that future as a client. We can drive it because we are the instructing party, and we can tell our valuers that this is how we want it. And again, therefore, you know, if people want to join, we hope, and our panel have been very receptive to the idea, and they've had a go at producing these videos. So I think, you know, I can see within the next couple of years that we will be moving more to whether it's web-based, cloud-based, that sort of thing, but more interactive style evaluation report.
So that line in that Rick's valuations report about, you know, if you can deliver it speed and improve the client experience, you'll win more business is
absolutely
on.
Right. And the flip to that is, if you can't, then, you know, then
bye-bye.
It's not, the future's not looking particularly positive.
And I think overlaying that as well on top of the numbers side of things as well. So when you overlay the sort of the more efficient and better way of communicating the valuation report with the numbers, you can spend a lot more time doing the analysis and giving the client an understanding what their risk rating and how actually the numbers stack up. And that's a very critical part of the whole valuation process, because that's ultimately what the client's really wanting to understand from the onset. And then when you can actually start to spend time analysing the best cases, worst cases, and communicating that through to the clients, it's not currently done enough off at the moment. We're sort of looking at providing one value and that's it. If we can start to sort of start providing more of a consultancy role to the industry, I think that's when we're going to see an evolution of how we behave as an industry.
John, you are ferociously nodding then.
Because that is what technology should be about, isn't it? You know, the software that Anthony has can do a role at the moment. It can help the valuer arrive at an opinion evaluation by, instead of doing it with a pen and paper and rubber and a calculator, you can do it. And so obviously that was one major leap forward as far as that type of software is concerned. But actually, you then start to say, well, actually, that is capturing data. So therefore, that data is reliable, accurate, and you can provide it to your clients so that it's transparent. But then how else can we use that data in terms of overlaying scenarios against that? And so doing the what ifs and what happens if and how accurate is it and the reliability of it. And all of a sudden, you know, as a client lender, I am valuing that advice much more, and you overlay that again with the valuer's market expertise, and all of a sudden the whole process, as you said in your quote, the whole process is getting quicker, it's getting more transparent. I'm still challenging the valuer because I'm still relying on their market expertise to say, okay, that's what the model says, but you tell me where the model might be wrong. And the valuer comes along and says, I know the market better than anyone. I can tell you that actually, because of this particular characteristic of this asset, the occupiers won't be interested in it, and therefore the model doesn't stack up. That's where the valuer adds their value. So therefore, using all the various pieces of technology improves the process all the way through.
So anything that can reduce that time at the beginning of the process is valuable, to use a word, further down the line, enables so much more of the quality advice to come forwards.
And it's the accuracy of that data as well that you receive from the onset, that you don't spend a lot of time questioning, is that actually current? Is it accurate? Am I basing my valuation around that? And that ultimately, you know, the saying garbage in, garbage out is very true in valuations. And even if you put a caveat in there saying that you're trusting this information is accurate and correct, it doesn't actually help the end user off that information. So the more accuracy we have around that you can start to feed into your valuation modelling, the better the whole process is and helping the industry. And so, yeah.
I think on the point at the beginning of the reporting system, I think it's very important. It's a key area where we spend a lot of time. And if we did a process where we analysed our workflow all the way through, and actually we're spending perhaps the best part of 30 to 40% of our time in the valuation process actually doing filing and administration and collection of data. And as much as we can squeeze that down and then spend a bit more time doing the analysis, working on the valuation, providing the client with what they want, we can spend more time on that and less on the front end, the better it's going to be for everybody.
So I guess the next question would be, when do you think, one, are we already seeing enough of this change? If not quite, when do you think that will be? And what's going to be the one thing that really changes the direction of valuations within, let's say, UK real estate, but then globally as well, I suppose?
I think it's going to be really driven from client demands and competition. And that's where we're seeing it now. And I think over the last 2 to 3 years, we've seen the industry wake up to understand that you have to differentiate yourself within your service that you're providing your clients. And I think that's going to be a big driver of the change over the next little while. And then sort of overlaying and really understanding what technologies are out there to support that whole process to enable you to provide your clients with a better level of service, which is more accurate, which is more compliant, and is ultimately providing them the insights that they require to either achieve greater fund performance or mitigate their risks on lending, or even provide them opportunities on lending that maybe no one else can deliver them. And that's where we're sort of seeing the real partnership approach come to the valuation industry. And I think most silos within the real estate community are starting to shift their way of behaving to be more of a consultancy practice rather than just a valuation or leasing or agency or property management side of things.
Simon, would you agree with that? You talked about collaboration within businesses.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I think the thing about the collaboration is if we can work more closely with the solicitors, with the lenders, or whoever our clients are, we can improve efficiencies. And I think going forward, just going back to your original questions, I think that the change is happening now. We're looking at it. I know that our competitors are looking at automated documentation systems and trying to speed up their processes. And with the younger generation coming through, if we don't embrace the technology, we're not going to be we're not going to have the staff to do the work. And I think we have to change. And we have graduate programs, and we want to encourage people to get into valuation. And to do that, we have to be more exciting and more dynamic. And to do that, we need to embrace technology. And that technology is we're right on the cusp of something very, very exciting.
Are there any particulars out there that are useful?
In particulars in terms of
technologies?
Yeah, I think, well, for us, we've been looking, we looked historically at our own automated documented system and valuation software. It was a struggle. We were writing that software ourselves in partnership with another company, and we found that really hard going. And also because one minute you're getting so far, and then because of the pace of change and the different requirements, you're having to stop and start again to make further changes. You can never quite launch it. So we're partnering up with yourselves at 360, and we're really, really excited with that. And the benefits that we're going to see in terms of time saving and cost saving, and the ability to also provide good quality assurance using that product is going to be invaluable for us and for our clients going forward. And I think, in addition, it's also will enable us to capture data more quickly, more easily, get hold of comparables, incorporate our own comparable databases into that system. These things are the future. And the ease and the speed of use, and having it accessible on tablet, on mobile, on PC, online, offline, these things are the future. And it's very, very exciting. And I can tell you that our staff are excited by that. And I'm sure that product or other products of a similar ilk will be hugely beneficial for the future of the profession.
It's funny, isn't it, how data used to be a really boring word, and now everyone is so excited about it all.
It's the most important thing out there. And that's exactly what we're sort of looking at Kell, and how we're sort of integrating within this whole process to support the efficiency side of the industry as well, and sort of integrating again with the EGI sort of valuation 360 with the numbers, so to encourage the numbers to talk with the valuation reports, so you're not having to do that manually. So that's an automated process that you can work with the numbers in real time, update the valuation report at the same time to sort of again help the governance and consistency of the valuation report, but also around the efficiency of how it gets presented.
So with that in mind, with the efficiencies hopefully becoming more efficient, if one could say that. Let's fast forward in time 5 years. It's always, you've got to always end a conversation somewhere, haven't you? So I'm going to end it in the future. So from each of you, where you hope to see the valuations market sector sitting in 5 years' time? What would you like your job to look like, Simon, in 5 years' time?
Well, I'd like us to be far more focused on the analysis and the interpretation of the data rather than being collectors of data. And I think that if we can get to a position where we're spending perhaps the bulk of our time doing the analysis and the thought process regarding the valuations, that would be a wonderful place to be, rather than spending too much time on putting files together and all the dull processes that go on at the moment. I think that would be a wonderful place and very, very exciting. Better for our clients and better for the profession as well.
John?
I hope in 5 years' time, when we've instructed a valuer to provide whatever a valuation report looks like in those days, that I receive that valuation report within a matter of days. I'm not going to put a timescale on it, but days rather than multiple weeks, that I can listen to it or watch it on my phone if I wanted to, that I get that it's not very long, say 3 minutes, but actually behind that, it's also a report that I can interact with, and I can get further information. I can drill down to further information if I need it, but actually the core information of what I need and the advice I need and the risk analysis that I need is available easily, succinctly, and I know that it's accurate, and I know that the valuer has used their market experience to assess various outputs from various pieces of software or technology. And I have a fantastic relationship with my valuer because I appreciate and understand the skill that they put into that valuation report.
Anthony?
Yeah, I'd like to see the valuation industry sort of more integrated with the other sectors of the real estate industry and sort of working as a collaborative approach to meeting clients' needs and really understanding how you can use data to support your opinion, because at the end of the day, the valuation is really an opinion, and how you sort of understand and the collection of big data sources to feed that opinion. I think that's going to be a very interesting way, and how we sort of approach change within that process is going to be also a very interesting element to watch out for.
I think, Simon, I liked your comment earlier about making valuations exciting, because I think it probably has had a bit of a bad rap in the industry, hasn't it, as being not the most exciting of the verticals that you can work in within property. But with the conversation that we've had here today, there's no reason for it to have that reputation. So maybe we should catch up again in 3 and 5 years and just see how far and how fast it is moving. But in the meantime, thank you so much for joining us here in the hottest room on earth, the EG Podcast Studio. Thank you, Simon. Thank you, John. Thank you, Anthony.